We're Talking Gardening with Darren DeMello and Sue McDougall on 882 6PR, the voice of Perth.
And we are at it once again for a Sunday morning to you. And Sue, we'd love to hear from you, wouldn't we?
Well, we certainly would. Lots of things in a bit cooler today, Darren. So happening in the garden today.
I don't think it necessarily got as warm as they predicted. Not everywhere, certainly yesterday.
No,
so
exactly.
we dodged a bullet a bit.
Yep. I think we did, and as the temperature went up for a short time. So you'll find that this time of the year is like that. So, you know, covers for a little bit of a time for the hot weather, and then after that you can definitely, you're getting into that territory now of starting to germinate all your autumn seeds for autumn veggies. So, you know,
broccoli?
Yeah, broccoli, cabbage, cauliflower.
All the brassicas.
The brassicas are starting to, as it cools down, you can back into planting lettuces because the lettuce, when it's hot, goes to seed too quickly.
Yep.
And then, of course, it's bitter. It's not as nice. So you can put all those in. Definitely germinate some carrots at this time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Beetroot, new crop of silver beet to go in because it's soft and lush.
Uh-huh.
When I'm talking beetroot, soak the seed overnight and then put that in. But as the leaves grow, harvest the leaves and use the leaves while they're young and fresh. You can use them as rockets, a really good one. Otherwise, it bolts at this time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So all of those parsnips, swedes, all of those things, you're just getting time to germinate the seed to get them started.
Yeah, lots of good stuff in your edible garden.
Yeah. There certainly is. It's the time of the year to do it and get it in nice and early for the brassicas, and you remove the chance of the cabbage white butterfly.
Right.
Or you reduce the infestation from the cabbage white butterfly.
Always good to try and avoid that.
Certainly is. Yeah. Otherwise, you don't end up with anything, really.
No. 922-11-882 if you want to jump in and join us. 19-999-677 is the text. Or if you've got a picture we need to see to try and identify something, then email that to us. That's the way. weekendwakeup@6pr.com.au. The phone's the old-fashioned way. We like the old-fashioned way. G'day, Rod.
Hello, Rod.
Good morning, Sue and Darren.
How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks, mate. I think it's going to be a nice day today, not as hot as than yesterday, I hope.
Yeah, I think so.
A little humid, but that's all right for our tropical fruit.
Yeah, well, that's true, mate, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you wanted to talk mangoes,
strangely
enough.
Yes, mate, yeah. So when do you plant mangoes, and what do you got to do to care for them?
Oh, mangoes are actually your way in colour, Rod. Mangoes do really well. They're a fantastic tree suited to our climate. So all of that belt along just before the scarp is warm enough, does really well. So on those Swan Flats is really good place to grow mangoes. So if you want to grow it from seed, you can get a seed of a Kensington Pride mango and you let that dry out and you can grow that from seed. So where the plant was attached to the tree, so where the seed was attached to the tree, you put that in the soil, half bury it, you cut the seed coat a little bit, allow the water to get in, and then those cotyledons will open up, or those two sections of that seed will open up, and a tree will germinate from that. Growing a mango from seed takes a little while for them to actually set fruit, so it's better if you can get a grafted one, and you'll have 2 years and then you'll get fruit. But you can plant one either now, nice and early, before the cold weather sets in, or then you have to wait until spring, and then you plant it in spring. So you can plant a seed now because you'll keep it protected, but if you want to get a big plant, plant it like this month now, no later than, say, middle of March, because you want it to get established before the cold weather sets in, or a little bit established, or just wait until the beginning of spring again.
Okay.
So they're easy to grow, Rod. You'll have no problem at all.
Yeah, so I can just get a mango tree from Bunnings or something.
Yeah,
like
you certainly can.
You
and that's a better way if you can get a grafted one, definitely, because you're already ahead.
Mm.
And then you'll get fruit early.
Yeah, okay. Thanks a lot, Sue.
Pleasure, Rod.
Easy done. Good on you, Rod. 922-11-882 if you want to join in. Talking hydrangeas now with Joan in Melville. G'day, Joan.
Hi, Joan.
Oh, hi, Sue. So why would my hydrangea flowers have gone green?
Oh, they do that. They do that after they've finished, after they've lost their colour. That what happens is that the pigment fades, and then the sugars in the plant actually are the chlorophyll, and then they will start producing producing energy, basically, for the plant. Mm. So they do that after a time. So if the pigment's not strong, they will fade to green. My Endless Summer looks absolutely stunning while it's in colour, and then all the flowers fade to green. But it means that I've still got flowers 3 months later.
Yes, yeah. Mine's an Endless Summer.
Oh, they're awesome, aren't they?
Yes.
So if you want to get them to flower more, just chop those flowers off. I've left them on because I don't mind the green, but they do that.
Okay, then.
Yeah, very normal. You're welcome.
Thank you, Joan. Bye.
Cheers, Joan. Don't be concerned, see? High Wycombe is where Kevin is at the minute. G'day, Kev.
G'day, how you going?
Very well. Good. What can we do for you?
I have a crop of sweet corn growing, and I want to know when to pick it, when to harvest them.
Yeah, certainly. A great question, because in the old days, you used to grow open pollinated varieties of corn, and the silks on the corn used to go dark brown, and you'd know that they are ripe then. But when we're growing the newer varieties of corn, the silks don't go dark brown, and so it's really tricky to tell. So Kevin, one of the things is that those silks, so we've got the pollen coming from the top part of the plant, harvest, then the pollen falls down, you know, the what we call the silks that's out of the corn husks that are coming out. Each one of those is connected to a seed kernel. So they need to be not soft. Still, they need to be dried up a little bit, but they don't have to be definitely brown. They can be dried up, and then what you need to do is just feel the biggest, fattest one and then just open it up a little bit. Often what we tend to do is leave it for too long now with the newer varieties, and then if you open up a little bit and you see the kernels formed really nice and fat, away you go, and you can harvest the corn. So the silks aren't dark brown like they used to be in the old days, but they have died.
Okay, thank you.
Mm, you're welcome. Enjoy.
There you go.
I'm actually growing baby corn at the moment, and it's just, have you grown that?
No.
Oh, it's fantastic. Baby corn's the best thing.
Yeah, little tiny ones. So
yeah, so the plant's normal size. Yeah. Well, like little. When I say little, my height. they come up like normal corn, and before the silks die off, you harvest them.
Right.
So, and then each kernel is so baby cob. What got me into it was that all the baby corn you bought from the shops as fresh baby corn was grown in Thailand.
Yeah, right.
And I'm not buying imported baby corn.
And it grows well here?
Grows really well here. But the best thing about it is that you harvest that cob, and then the next cob comes on, it tillers out.
Yeah,
so
right.
It comes on in the same place. So you have a very long-term crop. It's fantastic. But then also, if you leave some kernels there, it makes, and you let them develop into seeds, because you harvest them when they're smaller. Otherwise,
right.
So you harvest when they're about 6 centimetres long. Makes the best popcorn, the most flavoursome popcorn. So
never thought of doing popcorn with homemade corn.
Yeah,
that sounds brilliant.
With the baby corn you need to use, because some varieties don't work, but popcorn works with the baby corn variety. They're just beautiful. You've got to grow some. Really good value to grow.
Sounds like a good one for the home garden.
Yeah.
All right. 922-11882 or 19999-677 could win yourself a Hovex picnic pack, including a picnic rug and the brand new Hovex Vapor Guard outdoor fly and mosquito shield spray with 6 hours protection against flies and mozzies.
Yes.
And in the draw for next week for the $700 Honeywell evaporative air cooler. This is your outdoor alfresco cooling sorted. Now, we do have one that's come through on the email here, just for interest. Sold my house a year ago, and it was awaiting demolition for a year. Had a large garden, which I managed to mostly relocate. However, the jade tree, which was huge, remained unattended. To everyone's surprise, just before the demolition, after no water for a year, it burst into beautiful flower. After 64 years of nothing but green leaves.
Isn't that amazing? Amazing.
Sadly, it and the house are now gone. That's from Janet and Como.
Yeah, that is.
How's that?
That is, after 64 years.
Does that
amazing.
Happen? I mean, obviously that
well,
happens.
Well, you know, the jade tree is classed as having one, the jade plant is classed as having good feng shui, because it's really good luck. It's really, really good luck if it flowers. But the reason it probably would have flowered was that Janet probably looked after it really well.
Right.
And then once she didn't have water, the plant was stressed, and then it had to go into flowering. But I've heard stories of, I haven't heard as long as 63 years, but I have heard as long as 40. Years for them to flower. Yeah,
not unusual.
Mature enough to flower, but good luck. Super good luck if they flower.
There you go. Maybe
got some bits off it.
Maybe it meant the move was good luck.
Yeah.
Or the demolition was going to be,
Good luck.